This morning, I'd like to call your attention to a portion of Scripture found in Luke chapter 24. Jesus Christ has already been crucified and resurrected. And when we get to Luke chapter 24, it begins to tell us about a visit that Jesus Christ had with two men on the Emmaus Road. And I'd like to begin this morning in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. "And behold, two of them," and these two that are mentioned here were disciples of Jesus Christ. They were believers in Jesus, and they had worshiped him and served him. But after his death and crucifixion, their hope in Jesus died. And that's very sad. And so they're on their way back home to their town named Emmaus. And it was about a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So these two men are on their way back to their village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. How many of you all have you ever thought about how you would have loved to have been on this earth 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here and you could have seen him in the flesh and heard him preach his own everlasting gospel? I've thought about that a lot in my lifetime. It would have been wonderful in a way to have been here and to have actually been in his bodily presence as he went about preaching and working miracles and raising the dead. That would have been quite an experience, wouldn't it? Well, these two men on their way back to Emmaus had that privilege. They had been in the company of Jesus. They were his disciples. But after his death and after his crucifixion, they really had not embraced the truth that he would be raised from the dead 3 days later. So they're very sad. They don't get it. They don't understand that he's alive. So they're on their way home, and they're very sad, and they talk together of all these things which had happened. They're communicating with each other. They're fellowshipping one with the other. And we all talk to our friends, don't we? But I want to just tell y'all, you need to be careful who you talk to. Because there are people in this world that can pull you down instead of lift you up. Well, these two men were pulling each other down as they walked along the way. 7 miles. It's going to be a long walk. And they talked to each other along the way. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned in their minds, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now you all remember, Jesus has been resurrected, and he's now in his resurrection body. And he joins these two men on their walk back to Emmaus. But a strange thing happened. But their eyes, these two men, and I say men, there could have been a man and a woman. I'm not sure who they were. The Bible doesn't tell us. But these two people, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, isn't that interesting? They had been his disciples. They had walked with him. They had seen him in his body. They knew him. But their eyes were holden that they didn't know who he was. And I've wondered in my mind for years, why were their eyes restrained so that they could not recognize Jesus in his body? Why was that? Well, what I've come to believe is this. In this wonderful lesson we're going to be looking at this morning, Jesus Christ shows these two men himself in the Old Testament. He's going to go back and he's going to preach to them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, about himself. And he's going to show them Jesus in the Old Testament. And you know what? This morning you and I can see him in the Old Testament also, just as they did on the Emmaus Road. You and I today are not privileged to be in the bodily presence of the Lord Jesus. His body is back in heaven at the right hand of the Father. So you and I can't see him bodily this morning, but I want to tell you, if we will search the scriptures, we'll see him all over the Old Testament. And Jesus is going to show these men himself in the Old Testament. So he begins to talk to them, and he said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Now wait a minute. They're sad. Jesus has died and he's been resurrected, but they are sad. And he asked them, Why are y'all so sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" They were shocked that somebody in that area had not heard about what had happened in Jerusalem. When Jesus, the one they thought was the Messiah, had been crucified. And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now these two disciples knew that he was Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now, I want to point out this morning, beloved, that these two disciples of Jesus did not understand why Jesus came into the world. They thought he had come into the world to restore the nation of Israel to its glory and grandeur. That's what they thought. They did not understand that Jesus came into the world to die for his elect family. They didn't understand that. They thought he had come to redeem Israel. In other words, they thought he would be the king of Israel that would drive out the Roman army and bring deliverance to the nation of Israel. And that's what they were looking for, some kind of natural redemption from Roman occupation. And so they're very disappointed. Now, let's notice in verse 22, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive." Y'all remember that? "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." You remember the women had gone to the tomb to anoint his body, but the body was gone. The body was missing. And angels appeared to them and told them he's alive. But these disciples just didn't believe it. They were still sad and cast down. And I can understand why they would have been sad on their way back home if they thought that Jesus was still in a Jerusalem tomb. So now what is Jesus going to say to these two men, his disciples, on the Emmaus Road that are very sad and unbelieving? Notice verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. Now that's a strong word, isn't it? They're his disciples, they're his children. He died for them. They'll be in heaven by his grace. But he says, y'all are foolish. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now that's an interesting statement Jesus makes to these two men. At this point, they don't know he's Jesus. Their eyes are still blinded to the fact that he is the risen Savior. But he says to them, O fools and slow of heart. Beloved, we don't want a slow heart, do we? We don't want a hard heart. We don't want an unbelieving heart. We want a heart that's alive and full of love and belief in the risen Savior. O fools and slow of heart. To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I want to come back to that verse just a moment. But Jesus says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses... Now that would have been Genesis chapter 1. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Listen to that. Jesus begins at Moses and all the prophets and expounds to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus is preaching himself. Now, preachers are not to preach ourselves. Paul said we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. The most pathetic thing I could ever imagine in a church service is for a preacher to get up and preach himself and tell you all about me and my life. No, that's not what it's about. Paul said we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. But Jesus is preaching himself. Do y'all see that? And he begins at Moses and all the scriptures and expounds to them in all these beautiful verses the things concerning himself. Beloved, the Old Testament is full of pictures of Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible is really kind of like a picture album in words. But I want to tell you the pictures are there of our Lord and Savior in the Old Testament. And the Bible is a picture album. And how many of y'all enjoy looking through the picture album of the Old Testament and seeing your Savior all over the Old Testament? One time I was on an airplane and I was sitting next to a grandmother and she was going to see her grandkids and she pulled out a family album and she was enjoying looking at all these grandkids and she wanted me to look. And I mean, she had a lot of pictures. And it was going to take probably the whole trip just to look at all of these pictures she had of her grandchildren. Well, listen, I was a young man. I wasn't a grandfather at the time. But I knew that grandparents can be silly about their grandkids. Amen? And so I looked at the pictures and tried to act interested. But honestly, I didn't know any of them. And I didn't get that interested. But I could understand her getting interested because that's her family. Now, if y'all want to see some grandkids' pictures this afternoon after church, I got a bunch of them on my phone. I'll show them to you, but I don't expect y'all to get excited about them either. But let me tell you, if you're in God's family, if you're one of God's children, you're interested in the family album. And that's what this book is this morning, a family album of God, our Savior, pictures of him all over the Old Testament. And Jesus preaches to these two people on the Emmaus Road, Cleopas and whoever's with him, and he begins to open their understanding. And see, they had read in the Old Testament, about Jesus, the Messiah, but all they evidently saw was that the Messiah would come into the world and redeem Israel and restore them to their glory. They missed the part about his suffering. They didn't see that. They missed that. So when Jesus suffered and was crucified, they didn't get it. They didn't understand what that was all about. And so Jesus begins to show them in the Old Testament himself in type and in shadow. And you know, the first picture of Jesus in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 3, where the Bible says that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Now, Satan is described as a serpent there. And the prophecy is that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. What about the seed of the woman? Did you know there's no reference anywhere in all the Bible about the seed of the woman except here? In the Old Testament, it's always about the seed of the male, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Moses, the seed of Joseph. The seed comes from the male, not the female. So why in the Old Testament would the Bible talk about the seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head? Because I believe it's a beautiful type and shadow and prophecy of the virgin birth of the Son of God. You know, our Savior came down from heaven. Y'all do know that. The second person of the Trinity came down the stairway of heaven and took up residence in a little baby's body. But that, and Mary gave birth to him. His body developed in her body for 9 months. And then she gave birth to him. But she was a virgin. How could a virgin ever conceive and bring forth a child? It's a miracle. And that is shown to us right there in Genesis chapter 3, in the opening of the Old Testament. Have you all ever just stood in awe of that prophecy in the morning of time? And what did the Bible say? The seed of the woman would be defeated by the serpent? No. The seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. A head wound would be a fatal wound. The serpent's seed would bruise his heel. They did bruise his heel at Calvary. But I want to tell you, our Savior dealt a death blow to the devil himself at Calvary. And that's the first picture of him in the Old Testament. And then we come to Exodus, where God's people are enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And God raises up Moses out of a burning bush. He appears to Moses and says, I want you to go down to Egypt and I want you to lead my people out. And Moses, in his mind, is wondering, now wait a minute, when I go down there and talk to them, they're going to know who sent me. What is your name? Do y'all remember the name that God gave him to tell Israel and to tell Pharaoh? I am that I am hath sent thee. The eternal being. Do y'all know anybody who is the I am? Yes, I do, and that's God himself. I am that I am. Our God came from nowhere. He's going nowhere. He is eternal. The great I am. And you know what? God instructed Moses, after he had been down there in Egypt for a while, to instruct the fathers of every Hebrew family. I want you to take a lamb, a firstling of the flock, and I want you to examine him and see if there's any sores or diseases in that little lamb. And then, On the given day, I want you to slay that animal. And I want you to catch its blood in a basin. And I want you to sprinkle some of that blood on the doorpost of every Hebrew home. Put some blood over here on this side, and some on that side, and some right in the middle. And you know what I see there? I see the cross of Jesus Christ hanging up there, his hands nailed to the cross. And I want to tell you, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your faith, when I see your belief, when I see your good works, when I see your baptism, no. Your righteousness, no. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That word Passover is a beautiful word. God was just going to pass over that family that had the blood over it and spare them the death of the firstborn. You know who that Passover lamb is a picture of? Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. And because of his sacrifice and his blood, God is going to pass over you and me in judgment and take us home to glory. How many of y'all see him there in the Old Testament? Do y'all see him this morning? Thank y'all. I'm trying to open up the family picture. The family album. Now, you know, if you're not in God's family, you're bored with this message. It doesn't mean a thing to you. But I want to tell you, if you're God's child and you've been quickened by the Holy Spirit, you love looking at the pictures of your Savior. Amen. You know, last night at the wedding, they had pictures of the grandparents as you came up. And I'm sure they all enjoy looking at their grandparents. We've got a few pictures of my mom and daddy. Nelda's got a few of her parents, and we keep them where we can look at them because we love them. Let me tell you, if y'all love Jesus Christ, you love to open the family album. And that's my job on a Sunday morning. Open the family album and show y'all your Savior, who was the seed of the woman, and he was the Passover lamb. I hope y'all can see this morning. Now, I've just got into Genesis and Exodus. You know, there are 39 books in the Old Testament. I'm not going to keep y'all all day, but we could spend all day right there in the Old Testament just looking at Jesus, our Savior. But Jesus, listen to this. Let's go back. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now you talk about a sermon. See, they had a 7-mile walk. And it would have probably taken a good 3 miles just walking casually to get from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And Jesus joined himself on the Emmaus road and began to preach to them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It probably took 3 hours. How many of y'all would have loved to have heard that sermon? He's preaching himself. He's right out of the grave. His death, his suffering is over, and Jesus is in his glory, and he's accomplished what he came into the world to do. He's excited about it, and he's preaching to these two men. Elder Byrd used to tell me, he said, Brother Sam, when I was a young preacher, and Brother Byrd was born in 1880, so he was, you know, he goes way back when people took church a little more seriously maybe than we do. He said, Brother Sammy, he said, when I was a young preacher, if I didn't have good liberty, I never stood over an hour and a half. But he said, if I had liberty, I'd just keep them all day. Let me tell you, are y'all excited about Jesus Christ? You get around people that love football, they get excited about football, and that's okay. They'll talk about the Georgia Bulldogs with enthusiasm, with excitement. The Atlanta Braves, they'll get excited about it. That's all right. But I'm excited about Jesus. How many of y'all this morning are aware he's alive? He's not still dead and in the Jerusalem tomb. He's alive. He came out of the grave, conquering death and Satan and the grave. And Jesus is just preaching to them all along the journey. Of all the sermons that have ever been preached, if I could go back in history, that's the one I'd choose to hear. I imagine he was preaching in Hebrew, so I'd have needed a translator unless he just blessed me to understand Hebrew. What a sermon that would have been. Are y'all with me today? See, you and I are not with him today. We'll see him in his glory someday. Sister Polly's already up there. Charlie Kirk's already up there. They're seeing him in his glory. You and I just have to see him this morning in the scriptures. But I want to tell you, it's beautiful if we're blessed to see it. Okay. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh to the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." Let me tell you, they had enjoyed themselves on the Emmaus Road. They had enjoyed his company. Are y'all ever around people you just really enjoy their company? Because they're not gossiping, they're not running people down, they're not finding fault with everybody. They're just really enjoying having Bible discussions. I love having Bible discussions. When I was young, I used to go to Brother Ben Lord's home and sit in his living room. And Brother Ben was a great fireside preacher. Meaning, he could just sit in his living room and open the scriptures to us. And we all, a lot of us young ones, we had a lot of questions, Bible questions. And that dear man could just, he had a great understanding. Now, a lot of y'all don't remember Brother Ben Lord. He's been gone a long time. Brother Rabin Lord was his son. But he would open to us. Elder Berg would just open the scriptures. Elder Darty get in this pulpit and he would open the scriptures to us, wouldn't he? I remember Brother Mike Shepherd telling me when his eyes were finally opened to the truth about salvation, Elder Darty was preaching on Joseph in the Old Testament. How many of y'all remember that story? And his brothers thought they could buy the food down there in Egypt. And Joseph had all the money put back in their saddlebags. And when they went back home, they found all the money there. What they thought they could buy was a gift. How many of y'all know this morning eternal life is a gift? You don't earn it. You don't have to pay for it. That ought to get us excited, don't y'all think? I bet you if somebody offered you $1 million today as a free gift, we'd get excited. How many of y'all would get excited? Come on now. We're humans. I see somebody back there already excited. Well, I want to tell, I'm telling y'all about something that is not going to fade with the use of it. You can know $1 million could disappear. But what God has given us, you know what Peter said? He said, unto an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. I remember Brother Lonnie Mazingo telling about a couple in Mississippi that lived, and they were very frugal. They saved and saved and saved and saved and looked for every bargain, and they just wouldn't spend any money on themselves. They just put it all in a bank account for their kids. And he said when they died, you would be shocked how quick those kids went through all that money. He said the biggest trucks and boats you've ever seen, I mean, they spent that fortune in a very quick time. It was gone. You know, inheritances on this earth are corruptible and can fade away. What God has given you is eternal. Are y'all with me today? It's everlasting. And so... Let's see now. When they got to their house, Jesus made out like he was going to go on down the road. And they said, no. They constrained him, saying, abide with us. Let me tell you, they had enjoyed his company. For it is toward evening. And the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And they came, and it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, and took bread and blessed it. You know, Jesus was always blessing God and giving thanks. How many of y'all give thanks when you take bread or food? We had a good meal last night. I tell you, I was thankful for it. We probably have a wonderful meal today. You're at church. We ought to always give thanks. Amen. So Jesus, the Savior, was invited into their home, and they invited him to sit down and have a meal with them. And so he did. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them and took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. Wow. And he knew, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. See, Jesus in his body before his resurrection couldn't go through solid walls and such. But in his resurrection body, he could vanish just like that. So he vanished out of their sight. How many of y'all are looking forward to seeing Jesus? Come on now. That's going to, what a day that will be, right? When we see him in all of his glory. And to be honest with you, I'm glad I wasn't here when he was here. Because it would have been a sad thing to see him hanging up there on that rugged cross. But when you and I see him for the first time, he'll be in all of his glory. Now, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now, that doesn't mean that he took a book and opened it. It means he opened their understanding. Have y'all ever had your understanding open to where you know who Jesus is? That's what we all need, isn't it? Have our understanding opened. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." Beloved, my responsibility as a gospel preacher is to point you all to the risen Christ. And I hope in some way this morning I have been blessed to do that. And I want to encourage you all not to live your life sad like these Emmaus brethren were. I know we have moments of sadness when, you know, something happens in life. But basically, God's children ought to be a happy people. Are y'all right? We ought to go around rejoicing. Our Savior is alive. Let's not act like he's still dead and in a tomb in Jerusalem. He's alive. And let's get with it. And don't just wait till you come to church on Sunday morning. Have things in your home, little tokens that'll remind you of this. I've got it right where I sit every morning. He died for me. Hannah painted that for me. I'll tell you, I need that. I need to get up every morning remembering he died for me, but he's alive today. Do y'all get that? See, if you get your mind on Jesus and keep it there, this world doesn't want your mind on Jesus. They don't. They want your mind on all the troubles and trials and wickedness of this world. No, sir. Let's keep our minds on Jesus Christ and live as though he is alive, because indeed he is today. And I want to tell you, he saved everyone he came to save. You know how many is going to be in heaven? Everyone Jesus wants up there. I visit with people constantly. And they say, "Brother Sam, I know Jesus died and he paid the sin debt, but you got to accept it or it'll never be yours." How much sense does that make? Honestly. If you all owed a bank $1 million and you didn't have a dime to pay with it, and some benevolent soul comes along and pays your debt in full, goes to the banker and says, "I'm here to pay John Doe's $1 million debt, and I'm going to pay it in full." Do y'all think the banker would call John Doe up and say, "Now, John, will you accept this?" No, the banker is excited. He's going to get paid. John Doe is not part of it. It's between whoever's paying it and the banker. And I want to tell you, we owed our debt to God, and Jesus paid it. And the Father accepted it. So your sin debt is paid. And everyone Jesus wants in heaven is going to be there without the loss of one. I'm not worried about anybody going to hell that Jesus wants in heaven, because he got them saved. I see some of y'all believe this. And I tell you, it makes me happy. Thank y'all for your good attention this morning.